From Psalm 104. Lord, you have made so many things. How wisely you made them all. The earth is filled with your creatures. There is the ocean, large and wide, where countless creatures live, large and small alike. The ships sail on it, and in it plays Leviathan, that sea monster which you made. All of them depend on you to give them food when they need it. You give it to them and they eat it. You provide food and they are satisfied. When you turn away, they are afraid. And when you take away your breath, they die and go back to the dust from which they came. But when you give them breath, they are created and give new life to the earth. May the glory of the Lord last forever, and may the Lord be happy with what he has made. He looks at the earth, and it trembles. He touches the mountains, and they pour out smoke. I will sing to the Lord all my life. As long as I live, I will sing praises to my God.
Matthew 25. When the Son of Man comes as king, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his royal throne, and the people of all the nations will be gathered before him. Then he will divide them into two groups, just as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the righteous people at his right, and the others at his left. Then the king will say to the people on his right, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, come and possess the kingdom, which is prepared for you ever since the creation of the world. I was hungry and you fed me, thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you received me in your homes, naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you took care of me, in prison and you visited me." The righteous will then answer him, "When, Lord, did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we ever see you a stranger and welcome you in our homes, or naked and clothe you? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you?" The king will reply, "I tell you, whenever you did this for one of the least important of these followers of mine, you did it for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Away from me, you that are under God's curse, away to the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. I was hungry, and you would not feed me, thirsty, but you would not give me a drink. I was a stranger, but you would not welcome me in your homes, naked, but you would not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, but you would not take care of me." Then they will answer him, "When, Lord, did we ever see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison, and we would not help you?" The king will reply, "I tell you, whenever you refuse to help one of the least important ones, you refuse to help me." These then will be sent off to eternal punishment, but the righteous will go to eternal life. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to
God. As you know, these balloons with the dove signify the coming of the Holy Spirit, and clearly this half of the room is well covered, and I'm really concerned about this half over here. However, you may also remember that these beautiful bindings that we tied together, blessed be the tie that binds, you guys held up really nicely. Well, happy Pentecost, everyone. The best evidence of God and God's work among us is the fact that God is at work right now. So easy to take this book and turn it into a history book, isn't it? Well, this is what the Bible says. And but when we allow the Holy Spirit to infuse us and energize us and make something different and wonderful come about within us, well, that changes everything. The Holy Spirit, here now, God, here now, God interacting with you right now. That is Pentecost, the gift of God. A small town boy who was on the very first day of his summer vacation decided he was going to have an extraordinary summer. He was going to encounter, meet with, talk with God. And so on this first morning of summer vacation, he got up, he went into the kitchen, into that special pantry drawer, and he opened it and he pulled out 9 Hostess Twinkies. And he stuffed them into his little knapsack. On his way by the refrigerator, he opened and he pulled out 2 root beers. And he put them in that knapsack and off he went. He walked down about 4 blocks toward town, going to find God. And at the 4-block mark was a little park he had played in many times. But this time he looked out and he saw, sitting on a bench, there was an old woman who seemed to be sad. So he walked up to the old woman and he sat down on the other end of the bench. And she looked over him and she had a sweet smile for him. And so quietly they just sat there and they examined all the activity of the park and the children playing and the birds singing and dogs running and all of that. After a while, he opened his knapsack and he pulled out a Twinkie and he began eating. He looked over at the older woman and he said, here, I want you to have a Twinkie. And he reached in his bag and handed her a Hostess Twinkie. And she smiled the sweetest smile again. And they just quietly sat there on the park bench eating Hostess Twinkies. And they ate a couple of them each, you know. And then he reached in his bag and he pulled out a root beer and set it down and pulled out another. And he handed it over to her. He said, here, you have this. And she beamed a smile at him. It was glorious. It was wonderful. And they sat there the whole day. When it was finally time to turn and go home, the little boy reached over and he hugged the older woman, grabbed his knapsack, and off he went. And she gave him a parting smile, that beautiful face aglow. Getting home, his mother was there in the kitchen preparing their dinner, and she says, son, where have you been all day? He said, I've been with God today, and she has the sweetest smile I've ever seen. The older woman, arriving back at her house, her son says to her, Mom, I've been concerned about you. Where have you been? She said, I've been with God. He's a lot younger than I thought he was. And it all makes me wonder, how many times have I been in the presence of God, but I was simply too caught up in my own circumstances or surroundings or whatever to realize that here I am in the very presence of God, active, alive, right here in front of me. Haven't you had those moments of blessedness? When you look back, you can see what's going on. But while you're in it, you were so busy, you just kind of cruise through it without a wink of an eye. I'm not talking about those casual things that all of humanity feels. We see a beautiful sunrise or sunset and we say, oh, look at that. Isn't that magnificent? Well, we all feel that. I'm talking about something far better than that. Not some trivialized encounter with God. Maybe you read 2 years ago, Fred Kwan of Kingston, Ontario, he and his son claimed to have seen the face of Jesus in a fish stick at a restaurant in Ontario. Now, you may also remember that in 2004, Diana Dweiser of Fort Lauderdale claim to see the face of the Virgin Mary in a piece of toast. She put it on eBay and received $28,000 for her blessed toast. I've been eating toast ever since and haven't had that moment yet. But what about those times that God really does show up? Not in a fish stick or a piece of toast. Not even in the majesty of a sunrise or these beautiful mountains we live in. What about the times when God is irrefutably present? How do we know how to recognize God in one another? You're supposed to be able to do that. You see, I'm not stretching this at all to say when you and I say, yes, I am a Christian, what we are declaring is God Almighty dwells within us. God is inside us. So when somebody encounters us, they are in fact also what? Encountering God. That passage that you heard read a moment ago, Pastor Phil read that familiar passage of how sheep and goats are separated. For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was naked and you clothed me. I was alone and imprisoned and you came and ministered to me. Lord, when did we ever see you hungry or thirsty or naked or imprisoned? And Jesus said, listen, for when you have done it unto, and I'm going to paraphrase here, people in those circumstances, those who have no potential to ever pay you back, when you have blessed those out there in my name, you have done it unto me. Jesus did not just stop there, though. Jesus goes on with the parable. He says, and let me tell you about the goats. For I was hungry and you would not feed me. I was thirsty. You gave me nothing to drink. I was naked and you did not clothe me. I was alone and imprisoned and you would not visit me. Lord, when did we see you suffering and not minister to you? And Jesus said, for when you have not done it unto the least of these, you have not done it to me. We all want to be counted as sheep, don't we? Of course we do. It'd be ridiculous to say, oh no, I'd rather be out there with the goats, the one known to be aloof, unattached, unachievable. We can't get to this person. They're close by, but they're never able to be reached. They keep an arm's length from themselves and everybody else. Nobody wants that reputation. I thought about starting the service today in a way that occasionally we will start a service. You recall the times that I'll say, where have you seen Jesus this week? And you'll answer. Remember those moments? But think back to your answers. Because almost always your answers involve something that happened over the last 7 days in which you saw someone else doing something wonderful for someone else. I don't recall this. It could have happened, but I don't recall any of you saying, oh yes, I saw Jesus when so-and-so came up and did this for me. Certainly, we see Jesus there too, don't we? But all of our stories seem to center around the idea of us watching someone bless someone else who likely has no potential to ever repay the favor. Oh, I was standing in line at Ingalls and I saw a man behind a woman in line and her tab was $25 more than she had. And she began to scurry about which products she would put back. And he said, no, don't do that. I've got it. And he opened his wallet and he paid the difference. I saw Jesus in that man. Yes, you did. I remember being at the grocery store pulling in, and there was a rainstorm, and I was just sitting there in my car waiting on the rain to let up a little bit, and I saw a young woman hop out of a car and go to an older person who was trying to put their groceries from the cart into their car, and during that rain, tell them, no, go get in your car, I'll take care of this. And they loaded all those groceries in the car. Hadn't thought about it till right now, but a lot of my stories center on grocery stores. But you remember what I'm talking about, where we see people do something and we say, wow, that touched me. He touched me. Sing, oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. And he did. You didn't go to the grocery store to be touched by God, but God showed up and said, I'm here waiting on you. I'm going to show you I'm here. I look back there and I see Sierra and Carolyn, and I just love you so much. Just seeing you here touches me. You know that? I look over here and I see Blend back from Texas, and my Lord, there's Mary Adams, and he touched my soul. Look over here. Where did Charlie go? Charlie, did you bring your wife back from Florida with you? Betty and Charlie have been gone for a few months. He touched me, just seeing you here. We got better. I see new friends I've never met before until today. I see friends who are becoming precious to me real quickly. I see people I've known for decades. He touched me. God showed up. It was this magnificent, oh, well, Joe, yeah, you can find God in those kinds of moments, or at least you can say it's God, folks. You can also say it's not. Show me any proof it's not, and I'll believe you. God almost always shows up in whispers, rarely, rarely, in boisterous chants. God shows up in these places where we weren't expecting it at all. And suddenly, we feel that Holy Spirit coming down, giving us blessing out of the simplest of things. From the passage today, Jesus is clearly saying there is a difference between those who are following me and those who are not. Those who are, well, they're like sheep. Sheep go where the master leads. I have, and for those of you who have, you'll know what I'm talking about. For those of you who haven't, you ought to see people try to herd goats. Different experience. It's a little bit like trying to herd cats. You're not going to do it. Jesus is not saying that goats are bad people. He's saying that goats are not following him. Goats are missing out on blessing. Don't misinterpret. I'm not suggesting that God's sitting up there saying, boy, oh boy, I sure hope they don't do what they're supposed to do, and that way I don't have to bless them. No, no, that's not how this works, folks. God is saying, I want to bless you. I want to bring the glory of God right into your very presence. But you cannot be blessed with that glory from God as long as you insulate yourselves from the needs of other people. You will never be fully blessed of God as long as you protect yourself. You got to take some risks. You got to feed some people who are hungry without saying, well, if they just go get a job, they go get their own food. You got to help people get a drink of water, whatever that water symbolizes, whether it is a physical thirst, or in our nation, more often, it's not a physical thirst, it's a thirst for something different than what they have. We are losing a generation of people. I'm so tired of having my phone ring and find out that another one of our young ones has decided that life is too much to continue on. And here we are in the midst of it again and again and again. Since January, our church has been directly affected by 4 people ending their lives. I wonder what they were thirsty for that somehow they never found. Notice what Jesus is not saying. He is not saying you will be known as one of my sheep by having this perfectly packaged theology so that you can present it and back it up biblically and you say, well, I'm in because I believe this right set of principles here. I have my theology down pat. There's nothing in this that Jesus says that would back that kind of thinking up. Jesus did not say that we're in if we can win a debate on the Bible. Jesus did not say that having certain views on abortion and homosexuality and immigration and gun control and military buildup, those are the ways you know you're my sheep. No, he said none of that. He said, I was hungry and you fed me, thirsty, you gave me drink. I was naked and imprisoned. You came to visit me and you clothed me. That's how we know we belong to God. Not because we go to church. When we lived in Virginia, Corinne and I had the most beautiful mixed breed collie. She was not ours. She's like most of our dogs. She just wandered up one day and never wandered off. And she brought with her babies. You remember this, Corinne? But every Sunday that the ushers would forget to fasten the front door, and I don't mean lock it, I mean just pull it to. If we had a wind, it would blow it open, and Mama Dog could hear her master's voice preaching. And she would wander up the front steps into the foyer, and while I'm preaching, come right down the middle aisle. And yet I'm pretty sure she was still not a Christian, though she was in church a lot. Now, Jesus said, you're known to be my sheep because of how your life has changed serving me. That's how. So it then comes to the idea of blessing itself. If I were to ask you in this room, are you blessed? I think the vast majority of us would say, yes, I am blessed. I'm not suggesting that any of us could not point out things about our lives that are difficult. We all have things that make punching through life hard. Some of us, yes, have far more than others. That's true. But even there, I think most of us would say, in general, I live a blessed life. The larger question is this, though. Are you receiving the full blessing God has from you? You say, well, I don't know. How would I know that? Well, here's the answer. You will receive the full blessing of God as you more and more and more let go of yourself and bless other people. When you bless other people, you will be more richly blessed. Oh, Joe, you're talking about getting my car paid off and living in a bigger house? No, I don't think God gives a flip peanut butter and jelly sandwich about that. I know what the TV preacher said. He's full of mud, folks. Jesus never talked about prosperity gospel. It's a lie. It always has been. He who built the heavens and the earth did not even have a place to lay his head. And yet he was richest of all. I'm talking about the blessing of giving yourself away and finding out that the more of you give away, the more of you there is. That's how you find out if you're receiving the full measure of God's blessing. One last thing. To be fully blessed, sometimes you have to allow other people to bless you. I have a hard time doing that. And it's been through my whole life. I can remember it in my childhood, my youth, and my adult life, and right now. Real often, somebody will find out I've got a big task coming up. Well, Joe, I'll come over and help you with that. No, that's all right. I'll take care of it. I have a tough time with that. I don't want to inconvenience people. I don't want to bother people. And, you know, looking back, I just wonder how many people have I deprived of the blessing they might have received had they come to their pastor and been helpful in that way. But I was just Mr. Tough Guy. No, I'll take care of it. I heard about a man who was sitting in his living room reading the newspaper, and his 4-year-old daughter came in, and he was really into that newspaper, but she took her hand and she batted the newspaper down. She said, "Daddy, you want me to put some chapstick on you?" And suddenly he realized she was trying to take care of Daddy. He didn't need chapstick, but he just pooched those lips out there and he said, "Yes, I do." And she just glossed him over big time. And about that time, his wife comes into the room and looks at the little girl and says, "Anna, where did you put my glue stick?" There is a risk in allowing other people to bless you. There really is. But I want to say to you right now, it's worth the risk. It's worth the risk. I close with an old Irish legend. The legend is there was a king who was a benevolent and caring king. He had no children, no heirs to his throne. And he decided that he would put out an edict throughout the kingdom and send out his messengers that anyone who would like to come and interview with him to become an heir of the king, to become the next king of Ireland, could do so. But there were two very distinct qualifications. First, they had to have an immense love of God. They had to love God with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength. Secondly, they had to love other people as they love themselves. That's it. So his messengers went throughout the kingdom hammering the little edict to the signposts in each village and hamlet and town, and people read it. And some people in one particular town, when they read that, they said, "That's just like Jonathan. Jonathan ought to go and interview with the king." Well, they approached Jonathan, and at first he said, "Oh, no, I'm not worthy of that." But they said, No, you are. You're not asking us. We're telling you. You go. He said, "I can't. I don't have any clothes to meet the king. And one of the people in the little village where he lived said, I'll take care of that. And he gave him a beautiful suit. And so Jonathan set out on this several day walk to meet with the king. When he was about halfway there, on the side of the road, there was a pauper in awful condition, wearing shreds for clothing. And the pauper said to him, I'm so cold. I've been cold day and night for days. Can you help me? And Jonathan took off his brand new suit and gave it to him and put on the shreds that the beggar had been wearing. And then he started his walk on toward the king. After a couple of days, he arrived there and he was announced and a meeting was arranged and he goes into the room and he's seated there wearing this beggar's clothes. And much to his shock, the king, who had been the beggar, walked into the room. God could have stayed in heaven and left us to our own devices. God could have just let us try and somehow make sense of it all. But God became like us. God became like us so that we might be with God. To be blessed, dearest friends, you have to be a blessing. Sometimes being a blessing is you opening yourself up for other people to bless you. For God so loved the world, he chose not to stay out there in the ethereal plane, but to come up close where we are and love us in a way we could actually interpret, understand. And because he did that, we then get to spend our lives determining, do we want to be in a herd of sheep or a herd of goats? And that's our choice this morning. Heavenly Father, we give you good thanksgiving and praise that you did not leave us to our own devices. We botch up the blessings we try to give sometimes, Lord. We put glue stick on chapped lips. But I think even there you still bless us because we're trying. We're trying. Oh God, save us from the sin of no longer trying to live as a sheep. Teach us the joy of our salvation wrapped up in the blessing of caring for others. Teach us to know that in dying to self, we actually come to life. In pouring ourselves out, we actually get filled up. So that's our prayer. That you will bless us. That you will bless others through us. Through Christ the Savior.